Another reminder that we are maybe in this world, but we certainly are not of it. And God has something much greater and better for us. Let's turn this morning to 1 Samuel 17. 1 Samuel 17. And we will begin reading with verse 40. And he, that is David, took his staff in his hand and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had even in a scrip. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David, and the man that bore the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth, and ruddy, and of a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, Am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, Come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. Then said David to the Philistine, Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. We began a series last week concerning proclaiming the name of the Lord. I want to continue that today, and the message for this morning, as we find here in verse 45, I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts. And I want to notice that you and I also must go to the battle in the name of the Lord. But just what does it mean to, when David says, I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts? We have seen many times that just mentioning the name of the Lord or putting that appendage to a prayer in the name of the Lord does not mean that some magical incantation has been invoked, so to speak. There is not some magical power just by uttering those words. Rather, the coming in the name of the Lord is a reflection of our own attitude. And this is what I want to see in our message today, because the name of the Lord indeed manifests the power of God through faith in His name. So that is the first thing that we see about coming in the name of the Lord. We saw a little bit of this last week's message. Acts 3:16 says it this way, And in His name, through faith in His name, hath made this man strong, whom you see and know. That was spoken after Peter and John had healed the lame man, and the people were just so in awe because of that. But Peter tells them, it's in the name of Jesus. It's through faith in His name that this great miracle has come to pass. David expresses such faith in this particular narrative. It is one we remember from our Sunday school days, one that we have enjoyed for so long over the years. I want to back up to the 36th verse of this chapter, because you see, David had a basis for what he said. When he told the Philistines, I'm coming to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, he had a reason for that. It was not wishful thinking, but it is something that he had actually proven. In verse 36, he had already described how that there was a lion and a bear come to the flock that he was tending, and he delivered the lambs out of their mouths, out of their paw. And so we read in verse 36, Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. This is really a pattern for our own lives. We find out in our experience that the Lord leads us through one experience to another. We may fight the bear, we may fight the lion, but we use that faith, what God has done, what God has demonstrated, simply leads us on and prompts us to something even greater. In this case, Goliath the Philistine. And David won against him also. This is what faith will do. This is faith in the name of Jesus, as we find there in the book of Acts. And then I want to notice that, as we see here in verse 45, I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts. The Lord of hosts signifies Christ as the head of His own armies. When we invoke the name of Jesus, when we come in the name of the Lord, we are saying that we are subject to Him. We are a part of His host. We are a part of His army. The Apostle Paul goes into this beautifully in Timothy, and describing how that the job of a soldier is to please the one who has called him to be a soldier. This is what it means to declare the name of the Lord. We will be subject unto our head, the Lord Jesus Christ. When we go forth in the name of the Lord, it is imperative that we have such an attitude as that, because it means that He must make all the decisions for our lives. He must make the decisions as to how to fight the battle. I thought of some of the times that the way the Lord conducted His army would be completely ridiculous in the eyes of men. There was a time when God sent forth His army in the time of Gideon, and they were armed only with trumpets and lamps and pitchers. That's such a foolish thing to do, and yet this is what the captain of the host said to do. This is what the Lord of hosts said to do. And He may lead us through some rather humiliating circumstances in order to win the overall battle for us also. There was another time that David was told not to go head on against the enemy. God said, "You set an ambush." That is a rather cowardly way of fighting in that sense of the word, but this is what God said to do. And David did that and again won the battle. There was another time when God incapacitated an entire army. When they went into the land of Canaan, the first thing God said to do, "I want you to circumcise all of the men of war." They were completely vulnerable in a very hostile land, but the head said to do it. We must learn to follow our leader, to listen to our captain, to fight the battle in the way that he says to do it. And so we find out that God is the one who must make these decisions. He is the one who must indeed go forth for us. And then I want to notice the power must be of God. He has arranged it. He has fixed it in that way. But it is by our faith in Him that we actually invoke, so to speak, the power that God wants to display. Notice verse 38. Demonstrated by David, Saul armed David with his armor. And he put a helmet of brass about his head. Also he armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor. And he hesitated to go, for he had not proved it. And David said to Saul, "I can't go with these. I've not proved them." And he put them off. I want to notice here that David had to go with what he knew. This is the same thing that you and I must undertake in our lives. We must follow in the path that God has taken us, rather than using the weapons of men. And so we find in verse 40 that David took his staff and his hand, and he chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook. The staff is really the staff of God's word. David would say later in Psalm 23, "Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." This is what we must understand in going forth to the battle, in listening to the idea and to the command of our captain. We too have to have the right weapons. When we come in the name of the Lord, we have to use His weapons. And so we find the staff. And then he chose him 5 smooth stones. We have seen again and again that only God can make a rock. Only God can make a stone. These stones are none other than a part of the rock, Christ Jesus, and that rock is the Word of God. This is what David chose. It's something he was familiar with, something he was comfortable with, something that he had proven, and we find it fits exactly with our battle against Satan in the New Testament, because Jesus chose his stones also when he said, "It is written." This is what God is saying unto us. Now I want to notice this from both sides, so to speak. David had proven these weapons. He knew that they worked. And we understand that they also will work in our lives. Notice verse 42. When the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him. He was but a youth. Talk about underestimating an enemy. Goliath did that day. Verse 43. The Philistine also said to David, "Am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves?" The stave is the staff, the stick. That's all he saw, is just a stick. He didn't even see the stones that were going to bring him to the ground, and it only took one of them. But this is why that we understand that God knows exactly what he is doing. This man was covered with armor from head to toe, had a shield in front of that, and yet it was one little stone out of a slingshot that found that little window and went right through the armor and sunk in his forehead, as the scripture says. That's God. That's coming in the name of the Lord. God knew what he was doing. It was God who guided that stone exactly where it needed to be. And indeed, God will do the same thing in our lives. I want to see the answer to this in 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. This is exactly what you and I must do in our own experience. 2 Corinthians 10, very familiar verse. David knew this. The Philistine didn't know it. He didn't understand it. We must know it in our experience. Verse 4. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Saul tried to load David down with the weapons that were carnal. But David had not proven them. It's something that he didn't know. Again, something he was not indeed comfortable with. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. But notice, mighty, the weapons we do have are mighty through God. I'm coming to you in the name of the Lord of hosts. And that is why these weapons worked against Goliath. That's why God was able to bring him down. Remember, David had five of them. It's a testimony, five being the number of grace. We also go forth with the word of his grace. David had four more in his pocket. And we find the same thing. We have armor, and we have artillery, so to speak, as much as we need, all the grace that we need. And God is able to give us that kind of victory in our lives today. Again, the Philistine did not recognize God's weapons, but they brought him down. And so the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God. It's the name of God, faith in that name, that is going to make them effective for us, and indeed in our own lives and experience. Such beautiful words that God, and promises that God indeed has given unto us. I want to notice that our battle is found in verse 5. We are to be mighty through God, these weapons, mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Verse 5, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. This is where that God says you cannot go according to your reasoning mind as to what will work and what will not. We know what has been proven for the world, but that is not proven for God's people. It is so important, once again, that we be subject to our commander, subject unto the Lord of hosts, this captain that God has given unto us. And indeed, he will give us the weapon that we need. He will give us the message and the word of God that is so applicable even to our own experience. God is able to fight that battle today, and indeed he will. You will notice casting down these imaginations. The enemy is absolutely inundating our minds with all sorts of thoughts that are contrary to God and his way and his word. This is a time that you and I must indeed claim the wonder and the glory of the Word of God. It is a time when we cannot be dissuaded by all of the ways of the world and what they are doing. God's word has always been true, and it always will be true. And so our thoughts must be governed by the word of God, bringing every thought into the obedience of Christ. And again, the key in all of this is obedience unto the Lord. Obedience unto the Lord of hosts. Pleasing him is our first requirement. I thought of Zechariah 4:6 along this line. This is the word of the Lord, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. This is where we must be in our experience if we are truly going to trust him to give us such glorious victory. And so we must cast down these thoughts and imaginations all by the word of God. We have pointed out from time to time that the hunger that Jesus experienced there in the wilderness after being without food for 40 days and 40 nights, it was real. It was a physical thing. But we have also pointed out that so much of that battle went on in Jesus' mind. As we have seen before, there is no mountain in this world high enough to show Jesus all of the kingdoms of the world if you look from the top of it. That had to have taken place in Jesus' mind. We can well understand the battles that go on in our own minds. We have experienced them over and over and over again. And the only remedy for them is to go forth in the name of the Lord and claim God's word. And God will speak that message to our hearts and indeed give us peace and indeed bring us to the place where we bring every thought into the obedience of Christ. Notice another along this line, Ephesians, the 6th chapter. Again, another very familiar portion of Scripture. It preaches the same message that we have victory and power through his name. Notice verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. It's the same message of proclaiming the name of the Lord or coming to you in the name of the Lord of hosts. Be strong in the Lord. And notice, in the power of his might. We've already found out that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God. And this is what we must discover in our own experience. And so be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And then Paul exhorts us in verse 11, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high or heavenly places. We have known that our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against Satan himself. And so these conventional weapons of the world simply do not work. But we do find that God wants to arm our minds with the wonders of the Word. We're not going into this. We have seen it before. But a careful check of all of these pieces of armor show that every one of them are either directly or indirectly associated with the Word of God. These are the same stones that David had. He took the Word of God, and this is what was so effective. And that same message is going to be indeed in our own lives. When I think of all of the things that are coming against God's people, and I'm sure I'm no different than anyone else, with all of the thoughts that the enemy would try to inject in our minds today, very destructive thoughts and trying to lead us in a path that is not edifying, that is not the way that we ought to go. I think of what we read in Isaiah, when the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. He will do that when it comes to these thoughts that are just completely trying to overwhelm us. This is why we need, once again, the whole armor of God, that we might be able to stand against such thoughts and reasonings. This is why we must come forth in the name of the Lord of hosts in order to win this battle. I want to close with the record in Hebrews 11, that great chapter on faith. And much of this message has involved the fact that we must claim this name of Jesus by faith in order that he be able to set forth, to manifest, to demonstrate the glorious power associated with the name of Jesus. And so in Hebrews 11, this chapter is filled with beautiful stories of faith and power. And Paul just kind of makes a summation of that. Let us go down to verse 33, or verse 32. As Paul says, well, if I can find it. Got the wrong verse. Well, it helps when you go to Hebrews 11. All right, Hebrews 11, 32. Thought I was going to have to read the whole chapter. Hebrews 11, 32. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, of Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, the prophets. And here is what they did. This is, again, just a little thumbnail sketch. This is just a little summation of the great victories that these men won through faith. Verse 33, who through faith subdued kingdoms, they wrought righteousness, they obtained promises, they stopped the mouths of lions, they quenched the violence of fire, they escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, they waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens, and the list goes on and on even from there. It was through their faith that they witnessed, that they experienced the tremendous victories of power that are manifested really throughout this chapter. And when we go forth to battle in the same way, in the name of the Lord of hosts, when we have these attitudes that we have described this morning, when those are on display in our lives, we too are going to win that victory. Sometimes we go through the scripture and read these wonderful things, but we're also familiar with times where it seems like that people utterly failed and didn't see anything. This is when we must still claim God is greater. God has a greater picture God has a greater purpose. He knows exactly what He is doing. He has something in the end that He is going to provide. Ours, our only responsibility is once again to go forth in the name of the Lord of hosts and believe God for the victory that He is going to set forth, and God is going to write the last chapter. And we are sure, on the authority of God's word, that chapter will record victory for our lives.